Welcome to Tell Me More, Tell Me More, the podcast. I'm your host, Leah.
And I'm your host, Adicia.
And this is a movie musical podcast where we watch a movie musical and then we talk about it. We are now in a little March musical, month of musicals that have the word little in it. Isn't that cool? starting off with The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. Do you have any history with this movie?
No. I've never heard of like this. I mean, I've heard of Dolly Parton and Burt Reynolds. No, I had no idea. I've never heard any of the songs in this, except for "And I Will Always Love You," but that wasn't part of the original show anyway, so I guess it counts but also it doesn't. But yeah, no, it's fun time. How about you? Did you have history with it?
None whatsoever. I literally, it's just in our list of many musicals, movie musicals
that exist. You have to reveal all of our secrets.
Fine. No, I have no history with this. I just picked it out of a list of musicals, many musicals that we could have done. We did this one. Also, like, I knew that there was a show, but also I didn't know whether or not it was one of those situations where it's like a non-musical movie turned into a show or a musical show turned into a non-musical movie. So that was a risk. That's the risk I thought it was. But it wasn't. We're good.
Well, yeah. This came out in 1982, which, because it was in 1982, I had, like, questions about, like, the wardrobe choices. Because it felt very multi-generational what some of the girls were wearing, but it was also 1982, so I guess it's fine. Anyway. So the film has like bits of narration sprinkled through it. The opening, it's narrated by one of the deputies in the town, Fred Wilkins, and he opens with a little history of the place. The opening, it describes like, this house was gifted to this lady for her to like run her business of providing women for pleasure. And so the house became like an institution. Everyone seemed to regard it fairly nicely, even during like the Great Depression. This is in the 1800s. Even during like the Great Depression, the girls would get paid in chickens. And that's how it became known as the chicken ranch, because they just had a shit ton of chickens in the back. And it's continued to keep the name the chicken ranch, but it's continued to be a brothel, essentially, all throughout town. And the original owner died, and it has now passed on to this lady, Miss Mona Stanley, who is Dolly Parton. She seems to be, like, fairly well-respected in the town. You know, like, no one really... You know, like, sometimes, like, women who run brothels are regarded a certain way, but she... Everyone seems fairly friendly with her. She seems to make like a lot of donations in the town, so no one really has like a bad impression of her. She's very smiley and pleasant. So yeah. Ed Earl Dodd, who is Burt Reynolds, is the sheriff of the county.
Oh, also, when we're getting this narration, there's also, you know, 20 fans are turning, they're returning.
Yes.
Like interspliced in between, where we do get to see like the girls and everybody and their fans everywhere, I guess, to cool everything off because it's so hot, question mark?
It's Texas, and they're doing that hot too. Work.
sure, yeah.
Just saying.
20 fans returning in every room. I mean, that is fair enough.
But yeah, so Sheriff Ed Earl Dodd, he seems to be like a fairly no-nonsense kind of a person in town. Like, he doesn't have like a bad reputation or anything, but you know better than to like piss him off, or he's gonna set you straight like real fast. Like, there was an issue with a donkey sitting on someone's car and he like shot a gun in the air to like make the donkey scuttle away. Like, you know, like he gets things done right away. Like
he's both chill and also not chill. Like he's very lax about a lot of things, but the second things are like on his nerves even a little bit, he has no patience.
I think he likes to keep things the way that they are. He doesn't like things that disrupt that. So it's like the chicken ranch, he doesn't like, initially when I met him I thought, oh, he's gonna be like an antagonist against the chicken ranch, but it's a town institution and he's more interested in like keeping the peace and having everything like be cool, and he's not about to upset things.
I mean, in theory, like everyone in town is aware what's going on there. No one's like been protesting or anything to shut it down.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, it's very much just like it's a town thing. Everyone's accepted that it's there. All of the wives, presumably, I mean, not presumably, this is revealed later, they're like very chill with all of this happening.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he's like, it's part of his like normal day-to-day life kind of. I also thought, oh, is he going to try shut them down? But why?
But yes, so an introduction to the chicken ranch happens. We get to meet Dolly Parton and we hear her sing a little bitty pissant country place where she's like going through the rules of what the girls should and shouldn't do. You know, they keep everything running the way that it should run. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing dirty going on.
It's a little bitty pissant. I don't know. I was like, you know, I get that this is like her place to manage and whatever. But like some of the rules, I was like, damn, okay. It was particularly one rule, which was like, if you have anything to say about any of the shit that like, of anything that I've decided, including rules, including what how you're meant to operate here, like, don't talk behind my back. Like, come say it to me. And then also pack your bags and leave. Like, and it's like, well, then no, I won't tell you. What do you mean? Even if I have an issue, like, obviously I won't tell you. I want to stay employed and housed and fed.
We actually find out that Ed Earl has, like, this appearance that he's, like, flirting with, like, this coffee shop lady.
Mm-hmm.
But in actuality, he and Miss Mona are having like secret rendezvous.
Yeah.
At Earl's house. I guess because he's a sheriff, it's a little different. And so like despite her like acts of charity, it would be seen as like uncouth.
Sure.
If the sheriff and the owner of the brothel were like together.
Sure.
But at the same time, I'm just like, but everyone likes her.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yes, so they are sneaking around. Mm-hmm. They have like a really like cute discussion because Miss Mona got him some like Snap-on underwear.
Yeah.
And he thought it was like a Japanese slingshot or something. I don't know. They sing, I think, Sneaking around
yes. with you. I think. It's cute. They're cute. Like, they also both have this whole, like, idea of, like, marriage ruins a relationship, which is, like, sure, I guess, whatever. But also, we know that they've been, quote, sneaking around, unquote, for years. Like, many years.
I heard that that's, like, a change that they made for the movie. Whereas before, it was, like, they had, like, a one-night stand, like, a long time before.
Mm.
But they made it, like, a continuous thing for the movie.
I like it.
But yes, so I mean, yeah, and they like they clearly like feel something, but they haven't like said anything because they're like kind of happy at the point where they're at in their relationship, I guess.
Yeah,
they're something.
I mean, like we established that like he likes things the way they are, and she seems to as well. And why complicate things by adding in feelings and all of those things? It functions well the way it is. It does right now, is basically the philosophy.
Yeah. They get interrupted by the deputy coming to say that the mayor needed to talk to Itero.
Mm-hmm.
And during this time, Miss Mona sneaks out. So the reason that the governor needs to talk to, I say the governor, the mayor needs to talk to Ed Earl is that a sensationalist TV personality known as Melvin P. Thorpe is wanting to do like an expose on the chicken ranch, and he seems to be like fairly popular, so they are sincerely very worried about the attention that he's going to draw to their town and to the chicken ranch, because it's a little well-kept secret in their town what goes on there.
Yeah.
And so at first Ed Earl tries to like use his contacts in the industry.
Don't worry about it, I got connections. And then he calls like the what I think is the editor or something of the station, I guess, that Melvin is from. And he's like, oh, my hands are tied. He brings in the ratings. I can't say no. It would be really, like, stupid of me. Also, I'm sorry. Like, I get it, but I'm sorry. And then he calls, like, more, like, official government people who are like, oh, wish I could help. But if he's doing an expose and I'm seen to be like cutting him off from doing any further exploring, I'll be implicated. So it's your problem to solve, buddy, essentially. And solve it he tries.
He does. He goes down to the studio to have, you know, conversation with Thorpe. Because you know, maybe he's like a reasonable man, and he's something. So he comes across, he says all these things like he's for, you know, justice and, you know, getting the truth out there, while he's getting into his core, his little girdle to make him look slimmer and his shoulder pads to make his arms look broader and all of these things, his toupee. But, you know, he's very determined to, like, you know, get the truth out there to people. And despite Ed Earl asking him to maybe, like, leave the chicken ranch alone, he's like, oh, yeah, sure. You know, in fact, why don't you watch my show today? You know, just have yourself some water, have a seat. And Ed Earl agrees, because he's like, okay, you know, we've come to an agreement. And he's not going to talk about the chicken ranch. Except he's a liar. So when Ed Earl's sitting there, we get the song Texas Has a Whorehouse in It, because he is revealing to his live studio audience and all the live cameras that the chicken ranch is this like secret that's been well hidden, and other government officials such as Sheriff Ed Earl Dodd, and he points him out, are trying to like keep it hidden and try to prevent the truth from coming out, but he's not gonna let that happen, and everyone of the public has a right to know. And it's like, they really don't. So
I also like, I don't really think they were actually keeping it a secret, to be honest. Like, there's no indication at all that there's a cover-up here. Yeah. Like, everyone's pretty openly just going there. I get that, like, I mean, in the grander scope of things, like, people who aren't from there or aren't aware of it would not know it exists. But It's none of their business. It's okay. They don't need to live there. Leave everybody alone. Clearly everybody, you know, is fine with it, but they aren't. I mean, they are, but he doesn't think they are. And he just like, Texas has a whore's out house in it. Something about the sheriff trying to cover it up. And like, I'm like, oh, this one has a death wish. Damn. Oh my gosh.
That Ed Earl is Ed Earl. And
yeah.
He's about to need some reconstructive jaw surgery. It's just, like, it's gonna be a whole thing.
It's one of the wildest things you could do. It's truly one of the wildest things you could do when it comes to exposing someone.
Also,
like, I get that, like, he's a sheriff or whatever, and so in theory, like, he wouldn't just, like, blow up and beat you up, but that's also not true, as we find out later, but, like, he doesn't know that yet, but yeah, maybe he had that, like, thought of, like, he's a sheriff, what could he do other than, like, just be embarrassed?
Also, like, to point, Thorpe is not even from Texas, he's from New Jersey, so, like, yeah. He doesn't even have, like, the historical or emotional stake in any of it. He's just interested in what's gonna sensationalize the nation, because what
of course,
god,
it's scandalous, it's sex crimes in his mind.
Anyway, so after that we cut to Ed Earl and Miss Mona out under the stars having a nice conversation.
First he goes to the house itself,
right.
To talk to her. I think, like, just to tell her what happened and, like, that, like, he has to figure out something. He, like, gives her the down low, like, everything, and she's like, you know, like, check yourself, don't get too angry, don't act too, like, rash, blah blah blah. And then the deputy comes and is like, hey buddy, turns out Melvin's, like, in town right now. And he's talking about, like, corruption and, you know, all of the things that he said on the show. And then he goes, like, huff and puffing all the way to the town square.
Yes, so after that, at the town square, Thorpe is there with his little dancers. And, yeah, they're singing the song from the show again. He's, like, grandstanding to all of the people of Lanville County, who all know this information, but he's more performing for the cameras, and all of the townspeople are just like, ooh, Ed Earl's not gonna like this when Ed Earl gets here. Because like, they all know that none of them are going to help him. When Ed Earl gets there, he is not happy that this guy is back again after he tried to make a fool out of him on national television. He's saying all of this stuff. He's accusing Ed Earl of, like, taking bribes to keep it quiet. And Ed Earl is not pleased. And so he starts to, like, curse him out, like, call him everything, like, under the sun, like, all of the words as he's, like, advancing on this man who's backing up, and he backs him up into, like, the fountain. So he's like, splashing about. I think he also, like shoots off his gun at one point. Yeah. So it's just, like, he's, like, very serious. Like, don't you accuse me of taking, like, money to keep this secret? I don't want to see you in this town again. I am the law here. Like, this is not your problem. Get out. And
so, like, also, not that I'm on Melvin's side here, but I mean, it's a little crazy to just be, like, shooting about in town and be like, to a complete stranger, like, who doesn't know how it works. To be like, bang, 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 I am the law. Like, I decide what's right and wrong in this town. You don't get to do that on camera and everything. Like, that's a little crazy to do, but maybe that's just me. Because, like, optics beyond this, right? Because like everyone in town here is like, yeah, Sheriff, you tell him, like, you do that. He's, yes, you are you, and we love that for us. But no one else beyond this town is gonna be like, ah, yes, the sheriff is right. He is the law. Anyways, you know what I mean?
I see what you're saying. At the same time, I just like I understand what Melvin is trying to do, but he has like no real business to. Like, the only reason that this is going to work, I think Texas is like very like highly like Christian like state or something. Like the church has a great hold and power and whatever, and it's like a bad political stance, so no one's really gonna protest to him trying to get what is a brothel. But I'm sure there are other brothels in Texas, so I don't know why this one is so significant. But I guess, again, because you said it's like not a well-kept secret, but I think like outside of the county, because as we can see, like, this information extends way beyond just Lanville.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know. I think he was just trying to get like a meaty story and seeing what would come of it. And he does get some juicy bits, not gonna lie, later. But yes, they head out camping. They start like having like this really like sweet conversation about like what they wanted to do when they were younger. I think Ederil says like he used to want to be a senator or something. He wanted to like be a part of running the country. And Miss Mona's very encouraging. She's like, yeah, I could see you being like in charge of stuff like this. I mean, you make a good sheriff. He's like very touched by that, and he starts to like talk about how like respected she is in town, and how everyone's like pleased to see her and stuff. And I think she says something like, well, I always have a saying, like, if you see someone without a smile, give them yours. And he says he's gonna like use that on his like campaign slogan. And it's like, oh, that's cute. And then she starts talking about how she wanted to be a ballerina when she was younger, and Ederil kind of laughs. And she's like, not happy. It's like, listen, you promised you were gonna laugh. And he's like, oh, I think you could still do it. And she's like, no, I'm too top heavy now. That night, after the conversation with Miss Mona or whatever, once Melvin has been run out of town for the moment, they go to bed. And then I think the sheriff gets a call late at night that the show is airing, and they see like a bleeped out version of his cursing out of Melvin, which was on the cameras, on like the news. And oh, it's not good. It's not good, because Miss Mona specifically like, Ederil, don't do anything crazy to this man. It's not gonna end well. And there it is on the camera.
Exactly. So, that's what I was saying. So crazy for him to like do that, but whatever, he's impulsive.
He said, and also he said he didn't know that the cameras were pointed at him. I think he was just very hot in the moment, and so he didn't realize that it was still filming, because I think he probably would have like shot the camera or something. Yeah, it doesn't, it's not good. I think Melvin is like determined to come back and fully get like his moment to like go to the chicken ranch and expose them. And like, being aware of this, the mayor and the other staffers are like, you need to do something about the chicken ranch, Ederil. Like, it's gonna be really bad for the town. It's gonna be bad for me. I'm in office. Ederil's kind of like, y'all are so happy taking Miss Mona's money, but now when it comes to defend her, y'all can't say shit. I see.
Yeah. Like, she's like literally a pillar of the community. She is paying for so many things consistently with her quote dirty money unquote. Like, she is doing a, like, she's contributing member of society.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and like, for the most part, everyone's like friendly with her. She's friendly with everybody. And now it's like, oh, well, gotta throw somebody under the bus.
So the plan that they end up coming up with is not one that Ed Earl agrees to, but it's the one that he presents Miss Mona with, which is to temporarily close the chicken ranch for a month tops, just so that it can die down a little bit, so that Thorpe can't get the information that he wants. Because he's, and it's kind of true, like, no one's gonna be interested, everyone's interested in this right now. This is what everyone's talking about. In a month, something else will crop up that will take their attention. Like, so if you can just, like, keep it cool and collected until it blows over. And she's not happy. She's like, what am I supposed to do? Like, I have bills to pay, I have girls to feed, like, you just want to shut me down with and have no income. And he's like, a month, we're gonna take care of you, just a month. And she like reluctantly agrees. It's like, fine. However, so after Ed Earl leaves, Jewel comes in and reminds Miss Mona. It's like, what about the football victors? And she's like, shit, I forgot about that. Because it's a tradition that these two rival football teams, the University of Texas Longhorns and the Texas A&M Aggies, have like this rivalry. And then one of them, whoever wins, will come and celebrate, quote unquote, at the chicken ranch. And so that is like already a set thing. And so she's like, okay, we'll keep the doors closed to the regular customers, and we'll just have the football team come and do their little celebration, and then we'll be closed. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, I'm like, what harm could it do? It's just one night. It's just one night. What harm could it do? Even though I promised that I wouldn't operate, but you know, it's just one night. Mm-hmm. What could happen?
And so, everyone's like watching the football game. It's a big thing. And eventually, I think the Aggies win, and you know, all of them know. Mm-hmm. It's like, Senator is like in the back in the locker room, and he's like, boys, great job with the game today. And one of them is like, Senator, you promised you were gonna take us to the chicken ranch. That's not happening. He's like, I never renege on my promises or something. And so they end up singing the Aggie song, which I really like the dancing in it. I'm just like, oh boy.
Yeah, it's literally just them being like, yeah, we're gonna have a lit time tonight. Tonight is the night. We get treated. Boys, let's go. But yes, I do like the choreography in this sequence.
And I think like they're on the bus, and then like the bus breaks down, and they have to take a truck in to
the they're not even deterred. They're still like, yeah, let's go. Oh, like a bunch of 18-year-olds who just like, they're going to this house party that's so fucking important to go to. It's gonna be the best party of the year. And it's like, I don't care, my car broke down, I'll walk there.
But yes, so the senator comes as well as the guy, the random guy in the truck. He's invited too. And so Miss Mona has arranged this like cute thing for the girls to do with these like dresses. And they have like, yeah, and they have like a dance in the back of the ranch. It's cute sometimes. But then at the end of the, I don't know how to describe it, but the end of it, they all run off into separate rooms to, you know.
It's like a burlesque number, but like not to like burlesque music. Yeah. You know, like the gown thing, it's like a whole like strip section thing. From these like ball gowns of like, ooh, we're ladies, to like, ooh, something saucy or whatever. And then it's like chaos.
Yeah, so they go off to have their nights together. Deputy Fred is on his rounds at the town, and then he sees like Melvin P. Thorpe's TV van brush through the town heading towards a chicken ranch. And you know, so he goes up to Ed Earl Dodds and he's like, Sheriff, you know, I'm pretty sure I saw that Melvin P. Thorpe fella heading up towards the chicken ranch. And Ed Earl's like so pleased. He's like, oh, he's not gonna find anything there because the chicken ranch is closed, you know. Yeah, it's gonna be exactly what I wanted. It's gonna be quiet, nothing's gonna be happening. And Fred's like laughing. He's like, oh yeah, that's true, because I'm pretty sure the Aggies are celebrating their victory because they won. And he's like, what? He's like, shit. And so they head out to the ranch, but you know, Thorpe's already got a head start on them. So they arrive at the ranch, and Thorpe's like, he makes sure that they don't film him breaking in, just the door open. And I'm just like, yeah, because your ass knows it's illegal. Yeah. Trespassing, anyway.
Yeah, anything for this story, you know? Is it a net good? I personally don't believe that this is like has anything to do with anything. But in his mind, it's a net good. Gotta commit a couple crimes, gotta lie a little bit just to tell the truth or whatever.
Swear. Anyway, so he films his like little intro, and then they sneak into the back where it is quiet. It doesn't look like there's much happening because everyone's in the rooms.
And the lights are down, and it seems very like, you know, everyone's gone to bed kind of thing.
And so he sneaks into the house past Jewel, who is sleeping next to the TV, and his whole crew with him. And he goes up to like this bell that's hanging off the staircase, and he like rings it aggressively, and it's like, everyone wake up, and then sends them running up the stairs to like film everyone. And I'm just like, dear God. And so
this is like 5 minutes of him walking into room, into room, into room, and these like literally naked women and on these men. I was very taken aback, by the way, by the fact that there was like any nudity at all. I was like, what? I did not know. What is the age? Like, I mean, I guess we're talking about a whorehouse, but in my mind, I was just like, it's a movie from the 80s. But then I'm like, it's a movie from the 80s. Yeah, never mind.
Oh, yes.
But it's such a chaotic sequence. Like, everyone's like caught off guard, obviously. And it's just
There's a couple of them that don't give a shit. Maybe they're high or something. They're just like looking. They're just like looking at the cameras as they come in. It's like, whatever. They catch the senator as well. Miss Mona, she's not happy. Jewel is trying to like throw the guys down the stairs, you know, like to get the camera crew out. Mona comes out with a shotgun a little late. Yeah. But, you know. You know, some of the Aggies are like evacuating, you know, to like get out of this chaos. Where they're going, I don't know, because I'm pretty sure they got here on that guy's truck. So as the chaos is unfolding, everyone's like spilling out into the front yard. The sheriff pulls in and he's looking at this unfold, and he looks at Mona, and she's just like got this like, oh, it is what it is. Yeah.
She's got like a sheepish look. It's kind of like, ruh-roh. Oh no, sorry.
And then they get into an argument where Eren is like, the one thing I never ask you for anything, and the one thing I ask you to do is to close, not forever, but just for a month, and you can't even do that. You promised me, like, you swore to me. And Miss Mona's thing is like, listen, these men broke into my property, and like, I didn't expect the sheriff's department to be any help anyway. Like, where were you when all of this was happening? Like, what is that about? And I'm like, he got there like as quick as he like had knowledge of the thing. Like, it's not really. And I feel like they could have delayed the celebration by a month. Like, you know, like, maybe it was,
it could have been an IOU situation. Like, you get it, there's pressure and things. You don't want your boys to be, you know, implicated in a situation like this, do you?
Yeah,
they easily could have done that, but more.
Yeah. But yeah, Miss Mona basically like calls him a child at some point and like insults his like dream of being a senator. And then he says something like,
or being in the legislature.
Yeah, being in the legislature. And then he like says really coldly, like, it's better than being a whore. And like, you can like just immediately see like the hurt on her face, because it's like, it's never been an issue before. And the fact that he's making that kind of a dig, and he doesn't apologize, he just kind of leaves it there. Like, you see that he has the impulse to, but he doesn't.
Like, he registers that he crossed a line.
Yeah.
But he also is very stubborn, so.
Yeah. They both are.
True. But I don't know. I know that, like, what she said was mean to him, but there's just, like, a more, like, insidiousness. There's just more insidiousness attached to, like, his dig at her.
Yes, after that, I think there's, like, more news about, reporters, there we go, are taking interest in, like, Lanville County. They're like, based on the information that we've been receiving about the chicken ranch, you know, like, this little town, like, they do like interviews with some of like the townsfolk, and they're just like, oh, you know, when my husband used to go there like once a week on a Saturday, it was a great day off for me. Like, and then another guy was like, you know, it's good that those girls are there, you know, because, you know, if guys didn't have them, what, they just go around like sexually assaulting people. And I'm like, I don't think that's
I was like, no. But I'm with the women, at least, who are like, listen, bro, like, this was a service to this town. Sometimes us wives and shit don't want to be like having sex all the time. It's nice that they can go and find it elsewhere, and I know where they are and who they're with. Like, it's very handy. Oh
god. But yes, so while that's happening, the governor of Texas is not wanting to get involved with the issue. And so whenever we have the song, The Sidestep, which is like his kind of skirting around any like interviews or reporters that try to like question him about anything serious, and he's just like, address X person, or, you know, I think XYZ, when he's really not saying what he thinks, and is just kind of like not saying anything at all. And
ooh, I like to dance a little sidestep. And it's, yeah, like, it's literally just a song of him being like, I like to give no answers whatsoever and make people believe that they have answers until they realize they have absolutely not gotten anything out of me. Like, you know, like, what do you think about this? Like, well, the thing is, here's A that is a point for, and here's B that is a point against. Anyway, bye. And it's like, okay, but what do you think? But he's gone by then.
So he manages to sidestep all the way into his office, where Ed Earl is. And he tries to brush Ed Earl off as well. But Ed Earl is just like, no, actually, listen to me, please. And he's like talking about like how important the chicken ranch is and, you know, like what it means to people and how long it's been around, like since before World War One. And, you know, like, and the governor is like actually like listening to him. He's like understanding, like, okay, like, I guess this is an important thing for you. Like, I understand. And he's like, I'm pretty sure you've known people, kind of implying the governor himself has been there and I know this. And he's like,
yep,
I don't know what you're talking about. But, and even if I did, like, I cannot make a personal based decision about that. And
what's interesting about the situation, I just thought about it when you said the World War One thing or whatever, is that, like, technically it's a historical landmark, but, like, it's something that they probably couldn't claim as that because of the type of activity, I guess, that occurs there. But I would say it's a historical landmark. People have been coming there for, like, hundreds of years, question mark? I don't know. I don't know how long time is. A year? 100 years? 100 years? 90 years?
About 100 years.
Yeah. Like, I feel a historical landmark.
I mean, I would agree. I don't know if anyone else.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I know that, like, it probably wouldn't be considered that because of what happens there, but just the fact that it's there and has been an institution for as long as it has, as well as, like, a huge contributor to, like, the town and everything. Like, it would be nice if we were just like, hey, look at them being like, this is serving the people, okay? And the people here are happy with it. So,
but while Ed Earl is there, the thing that the governor was waiting for comes in, which was the results of a poll that he had. And I think it was like 43-47 or something, where the polls showed that a majority of the people of Texas wanted to close down the chicken ranch. And I'm just like, it's probably like how voting goes here in Britain, where the people who actually would care about it are outvoted by the people who live, like, in the distance. And I'm just like, for goodness sake.
But it's literally something that doesn't affect you directly, but you're voting against this thing, and it's like...
So Ed Earl is ordered now to close down the chicken ranch, and... like, of course, Thorpe is, like, having a little party. He's so happy that the news has come, that it's going to be shut down. Like, he's gotten his way. You know, the righteous have won the day in Texas. And Ed Earl is he's walking away, but he cannot stand that this guy thinks he's won. Yeah. And also, he did make the promise that the next time he saw him, he was going to lay him flat. So, he did do that.
Also, did he expose that he was wearing a wig?
Yes, it popped off his head and he landed on the ground.
And then the girl at Earl has, like, a conversation with Mona on the phone, like, hey girl, sad news, you're really gonna have to shut down for real, like, there's nothing that can be done. And it's just, like, sad. And now she has to say goodbye to all the girls and tell them, like, hey, turns out we can't do our jobs anymore and you guys have to go and, I don't know, live your lives, make money elsewhere, because I can't help you here. And it's sad. All of these women are like, fuck.
And we get the song, Hard Candy Christmas, which all of the girls are singing, and they're basically like, it's like a supposing, like, maybe I'll do this with my life, and maybe I'll try this instead. I don't actually know what I'm gonna do with my life, and it's scary outside.
Maybe I'll just be fine and dandy, something, something, hard candy Christmas, da 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 da, da da da, etc.
But yes, after Hard Candy Christmas, all of the girls depart. They leave. Since it's a very sad time, Ismona and Jewel are packing up the chicken ranch as well. I'm guessing they're gonna go and live together. Also, just before that, when Miss Mona was announcing to the girls that, you know, they had to close down, the girls were like, even after Ed Earl like went to the governor's office and tried to fight for you, and someone's like, what did you say? And they're like, yeah, didn't you know that he went to try and save the chicken ranch? We're talking to the governor. And she's like, oh no, I didn't know that at all. And I guess like her heart like opens up a little more again to him.
Grew three sizes. I'm kidding. I love saying that for every time. I'm like, and a character got emotional.
But yes, so now they're packing up to leave, and Ed Earl, he heads to the chicken ranch, and is like, he asks Jewel where she is because Miss Mona's still in the house. So he goes in, and he's like,
yeah, and I think he's by this time decided that he's going to be going for the legislature. I think,
yes,
right?
I think so, or I think we get like, we think it's the epilogue, and I think we get told that he's gonna be in the legislature, but then we get this scene, and so he goes in the house, and they reunite Ed Earl and Miss Mona, and Ed Earl is like, I want to marry you. This coming from the guy who, like, early in the movie was like, marriage ruins relationships, but he's like,
yeah,
he doesn't want her to leave, and the way that he's gonna get her to stay is like making her his wife. And she's like, oh, Ed Earl, you know, that's really sweet, but I can't. And he's like, did you not hear me? Like, I want to marry you. And she's like, no, I heard you, but I know what I am, and like, I know what you want to be, and like, us being together is going to like severely hurt your chances of like being in the legislature. Like, what are they gonna say? Like, and he's like, I don't care about what people think, Mona. And I think she sings, and I will always love you.
I was taken aback because I was. It started, and I was like, "Huh? It's in here? Is this where it's from? Is this what it was for?" I don't think it was for this, but like, I was just like very surprised at like it just being a number at all.
No, they included it for the movie. It's not in the show. Also, she wrote it like not 9 years but before.
Fair. But yeah, we all know it. Let's sing together.
Well,
we'll always love you. And I will always love you. It's like not exact. Obviously, it's not exactly like the Whitney Houston one. Duh. But like, we know what it sounds like. Wait, question mark? I don't know. But yeah, she's basically like, I gotta go. Actually, she's basically singing, I gotta go my own way. Oh my god. This is where they got it. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, you never know. But Ed Earl hears her, sure, and then he's not having it. And so he, like, picks her up and, you know, puts her in the truck. And he's like, which of these is hers? Talking to Jewel. It's like, oh, this, get this, yep. this one. Puts that in the truck and
carries her into the truck.
It's like, I'm like, that's cute, I guess. And Jewel's just like, okay, bye then. And I'm just like, no, but what happens to her? Like, is she gonna go live by herself now? That's not nice.
I mean, she's happy for them, so sure.
I guess so.
But also, like, what happens to the house, you know?
Well, I mean, I guess if no one's, like, putting money into it anymore, then...
But that's basically it.
Yes. So Ed Earl, as we mentioned before, he becomes the senator. Fred is now the sheriff. And Miss Mona married Ed Earl. Yay, everyone's happy. Except for probably for some of those girls that left the house. But, you know, it is what it is. They weren't the main characters. So.
Yeah.
And that is the movie. Now let's get into our ratings following our standard rhetoric of 5. Starting off with music and choreography. So... There weren't that many songs in this movie. Like, that's to start off with. So there's not a whole lot. I think there are more songs in the musical that they cut for time or whatever, because I think they introduced, like, Ed Earl and...
Mona's relationship?
Miss Mona having, like, a whole relationship as opposed to, like... a one night thing a long time ago. You know, kind of, they had to like increase time for them to have like an up and down to their storyline. And so they left out some songs. I also think they like cut out some of the girls' storylines, because I think there were two like named characters amongst like the women in the house whose lines were cut for the film altogether. Which is sad, because we never really get to know about them, like, and their like position and what they feel. They get like a song at the end. So music wise, the songs that I heard are good. I have no problem with any of them, because there aren't that many to have problems with. Choreo wise, I enjoyed like the dance the Aggies did. Very very athletic. I enjoyed the dance that the girls do in Little Old Piss and Country Place, and during the party. That's also fun too. And I think that's all the choreography that happens. Oh, and like there's some on the television show as well. It's fine. But yeah, so I'm just saying, I have no problem with it. I think I will give it 4.25 out of 5 for music and choreo.
Okay. I also, I don't like mind any of the music, nothing. I don't know. I don't think there's any songs that I'm like readily going to like go listen to in my free time. Maybe except for like And I Will Always Love You, like you know. You know. So but like every other song, like it was nice while it was there, while it was happening, and the choreography was, I really enjoyed that. Any sequence where there was even like the tiniest little shimmy shimmy, it was cute. I liked it. So I will give it 4. I don't have an opinion. I'm like, yeah, it was nice while I was here, but I have absolutely no opinions about how it functions in the story, you know, its value, any of that stuff that I sometimes talk about. So, you know. I'll give it 4 out of 5.
Okay. Bells. Oh yeah, dinner bells. I completely forgot to say dinner bells. Anyway, so next is story. I mean, It was a good little story. We got like establishing background information. We did like, I don't know, 60 years worth of information in like the first 10 minutes. And so, you know, that was great. And then we got to, I liked how they did Miss Mona. So I like that she's not like seen as like this temptress. She's not seen as like this like villainous person that people in town like keep their like kids away from, you know, like they're not shy about it. She's just like a lovely person that everyone seems to get along with. And so like when she and the sheriff are together, like you actually root for them. Like you don't feel anything like negative. And the conflict is all coming from outside, and then that puts a strain on what they had going. Also, the sheriff, I don't know what he was, because she rightfully pointed out like he was like playing husband to like the woman in the town who had like a son, because he like watched the football game with right. them on her TV. Like he watched the game with her son. And he got to like play house a little bit to keep up appearances.
And I think don't they talk about like Thanksgiving dinner or something?
Yeah.
Like some kind of important like holiday dinner that he's gonna spend with her.
Yeah. And so like I don't know why he was doing that, because Again, maybe it's like a their like status thing, and maybe they just enjoyed like pretending and like the sneaking. I don't know, but I feel like people would have maybe had something to say if the sheriff was dating the owner of the brothel. But at the same time, like I don't think they would have said it to their face. So. Like, I think everyone would have gotten over it. So, yeah, but story-wise, I enjoyed the story. It was cute. The ending felt like a little rushed, like the brothel is closed now, the movie's over, you know? So, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I could have seen a bit more development, like, after that. But, yeah, no. Plot wise, I'll give it 3.75 out of 5 of Errol's guns.
Cool. I agree with that. The ending felt very rushed. It's like the big conflict happened, a little bit of the aftermath of that conflict happened, which is still pretty full of action. And then, like, the end is just, like, anyways, they close down, and then, like, Adderall and Miss Mona got married, and he's in the legislature. Anyway, that's it. Bye! You know? And it's like, wait, hang on a minute. Like, can you not ease us into, like, the end of this? Also, I didn't know what I expected the end to be, but I kind of did not expect it to be, like, anyways, they shut down, and that's the legend. Bye! You know? But regardless, the characters were nice. The story was followable. There was nothing, again, nothing super egregious or upsetting to me personally. Yeah, I, again, also agree that the other lady in town is, like, so superfluous. Like, he, even if he didn't, like, outwardly say, anyways, I'm dating Miss Mona, right? Like,
yeah,
he doesn't have to be leading someone else on or like leading two romantic lives, you know, like you don't have to do that. Even if you don't want to like tell people who you're actually dating, you don't have to tell people that you're dating someone else. But anyways, that's fine. Everything's fine. No problems. 3.5 out of 5 guns. Mm.
Overall enjoyment. I enjoyed it. Yeah, I don't really have anything bad to say about it. I really enjoyed the governor for like the short bit of time that he was there. and like as you say, like the characters weren't bad. Like I felt like they had personality, the main ones at least. Like they had like personalities that you could like easily like pinpoint. Yeah, I did. There's nothing wrong with it for it being like a film about a brothel. The all of the like blatant nudity was like confined to one scene, so
yeah
it's like okay, so yeah, I have no issues with it. It's not, I would say it's not easily recommendable. I will say that. I think I'll give it like, I'll stick with 3.75 out of 5. Toupees.
Cool. I mean, I enjoyed it. I loved having Dolly Parton on my screen for 2 hours. She was great. I don't know. I definitely did enjoy it. I also think it is a little bit difficult to be like, hey, go watch it or don't go watch it. Because while I did enjoy it and there's nothing incredibly offensive or anything, it is like, also, I don't know who would be interested in this specifically. There's like, it's very like, you have to already really like musicals for me to say anything, even though there's like 5 songs in it, yeah. You know? And then I'm just like, I don't know who I'm saying like, yeah, guys, let's watch Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. But I did enjoy it.
I will say all of her outfits are iconic.
Of course.
In this, it's very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
She looks great all the time in this movie. And I don't have anything really negative to say. So I'll give it four out of 5 toupees. I did enjoy it quite a bit. I mean, again, like the nudity scene really caught me off guard. I was like there's, you know, after it happened and I like reasoned with myself, I was like, it makes sense that it's there and like that it appears the way that it does, but like I was not expecting it even a little bit, regardless of the fact that this is about a quote whorehouse unquote, you know what I mean? Like it's just I was unprepared, but it's fine. If you decide you're gonna watch it, you know, now that happens. So yeah, 4 out of 5 toupees. Okay. This one's gonna be short and sweet. And now for obsessions. Yeah. It's obsessions. Nice and short and sweet. Here we are at the part of the podcast where we talk about things that we liked or piqued our interest in the past however many days since we last recorded. Related to musicals, musical theater, all things sort of tangentially related. My first obsession is that Michelle Williams of Destiny's Child fame has joined, or is joining, or is a part of the cast of The Death Becomes Her musical, So Slay. She'll be playing Viola Van Horn, which is a different name for the character that like essentially brings chaos into the lives of these ladies by giving them like a live forever potion thing that she gives them. I can't remember what it's called. Jinx Monsoon from Drag Race will be replacing Evan Rachel Wood in Little Shop of Horrors as Audrey. So that's cool. I think that's very, very cool. And speaking of RuPaul's Drag Race, we've got Alaska Thunderfuck, who has a new song that is for, or is a part of, or has just been added to, Drag the Musical. The song is called It's a Drag. So that's available on Spotify. And two more things. Thing second to last, The Preacher's Wife is a new musical that's coming out, or that's going to happen soon, with Amber Riley playing the leading role. It's based on a 1996 like regular movie film, which is also a remake of The Bishop's Wife, which is then in turn a adaptation of a book. The music and lyrics for this one are written by Titus Burgess. If you do not know or remember, Titus played the, I guess, leading role of Remy the Rat on Ratatouille, the musical, which was a slay.
I feel like there was another reference.
There are many others, but this was specifically like an obsession of ours, like happened. So like that's the reference here. That's like it's connected, you know. But like also yes, like Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt and such. And finally, my last thing is Marcia Wallace is on Celebrity Big Brother. I saw like her little intro thing. She's like, I'm a West End and Broadway star and I will be the jukebox, blah, blah, blah. I don't actually watch Big Brother, but like slay for her, you know. She's been doing like a lot, always watching from the sidelines because I love her. But yeah, those are all my obsessions. There were very many of them, it feels like. How about you?
So for my obsession, I'm going to talk kind of about Dungeons and Dragons. And tabletop role-playing games. So to start with, there was a Kickstarter. You can still pre-order it, but there was a Kickstarter for Jukebox, a karaoke musical role-playing game where there's no game master, just four people, and you make playlists based on your character, and then you like sing at narratively appropriate moments throughout the thing.
Oh,
it takes like
fun.
3 to 5 hours, depending on, you know, like a musical would in real life if you were to sing a 5-minute song in the middle of a thing. But yeah, so the Kickstarter was very successful. Like, I think they earned like 3 times as much as they were looking for, and you can still pre-order it. There's still a link on their Kickstarter page. Aside from that, there have been musicals. There was a musical called Here They Be Dragons that was made in the past. We're also going to talk about 20 Sided Tavern, which just started off Broadway and is more of an improv show where they poll people in the audience for dice rolls, and I think they fight an amalgam monster based on word jumble towards the end. You know, interesting things. And this was not one of my obsessions, but now that you've mentioned drag queens, I'm gonna mention Dungeons and Drag Queens, which was a show that was done on Dropout, and Alaska Thunderfuck is in there. So if you wanna watch Dungeons and Drag Queens, I'm making it full circle, tying it all up, and sending it off with a book. Yeah, so that's me.
You can get all of our obsessions, as we mentioned them, on our Tumblr, which is tellmemoretellmemorepodcast.tumblr.com. We also have an Instagram and a Twitter, which is at @TMMTMMPodcast. That's where, like, announcements of things, reminders of things, basically those things will be. If you would like to hear our favorite songs from the musicals that we cover, you can go to our Spotify, so TMM podcast, the profile and not the podcast itself, and you will find a playlist for every year that this podcast has existed and songs that we like from each of the musicals that we cover, so long as the soundtrack is available on Spotify. That brings us to the end, and thank you for listening to the episode. Look forward to some Sondheim. I'm looking forward to some Sondheim. And we'll catch you in the next one. For Tell Me More, Tell Me More, the podcast, I've been your host, Leah.
And I've been your host, Adicia.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.